Hello and welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals, and philanthropists who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. In each episode, I speak to one such leader or a few such leaders, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little joys of life and work. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial, professional, and philanthropic journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which is now YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. In this episode, we are going to discuss something which is very fundamental, which is in the realm of education. India stands at a defining moment that might sound cliched, but that is a reality. With the world's largest youth population and an ambition to be a developed nation by 2047, the question is not just whether India will grow, but who will that growth include and who will that growth probably leave out? And that's a very important question. And more importantly, how are we going to catalyze that growth? So who are going to be the vehicles to catalyze this growth? Just as an example, and you know, just to illustrate the point, 1.4 million Anganwadi centers are building the foundation for India's education. So are parents with WhatsApp-based caregiving lessons, for instance, and frontline educators who shape a child's educational and psychological trajectory forever. Rocket Learning is making this transformation measurable, scalable, and sustainable. It's using artificial intelligence AI to empower the caregivers that matter most at a cost that reimagines what social impact can look like. To know more about their work and vision, I'm joined today by co-founders Namya Mahajan and Utsav Kheria. Namya leads the organization's partnerships, policy, curriculum, and impact strategy. She's a member of the Government of India's Curriculum Committee for Early Childcare and advises on foundational learning frameworks at the highest level. Utsav leads the organization's people and culture efforts and drives operational strategy across multiple states. His work focuses on creating scalable systems and driving systemic change in early education. He serves on several working committees contributing to global guidelines on early learning. Welcome to the show, Utsav and Namya. Delighted to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Gaurav. Looking forward to this.
You know, this question is for both of you. Maybe Namya can go first. Is both of you left high-paying careers at McKinsey, Harvard, very top corporate jobs to build something within India's government system instead of with the private sector, because those can be very attractive, very lucrative, commercially, financially, and from a career growth point of view too. What was the moment or insight? Was there an wow moment that it's something that you need to do and, you know, that made Rocket Learning feel not just necessary, but also there was a sense of inevitability in it? Namya, first you, then maybe Utsav.
Yeah. So I grew up with family that had been in government and, you know, grandparents who'd been part of the freedom struggle. So, had been working on some of those big issues that were building India as a nation. So grew up with the sense that India is a young nation with many big problems, but also a sense of optimism that one person can and should try to make a difference. So I think I was a rare high school student at 14, 15, 16. I already knew that I wanted to be in India. I wanted to work on some of its biggest challenges. And I had the incredible opportunity to go to Harvard, study mathematics, work at McKinsey, but all of it during that time, I was trying to keep an eye on what is it, right? What is the one subject or the one issue that I would care enough about to make a big difference. So I started my nonprofit career officially at SEWA, which is the Self-Employed Women's Association. Worked with women in the informal economy, domestic workers, farmers, construction laborers, and also with women who ran childcare centers in their communities. And I realized that that's an incredible opportunity to make a difference in women's labor force participation, but also in children's brains and bodies. So 85% of a child's brain develops by the age of six. This is a time of brain development that's fundamental and irreversible. So, you know, unless you put in a lot of effort and money later in life, the women I was working with were hardworking. They were, you know, they were smart. They were committed, but they had a ceiling to their abilities that was, you know, that started from before they even set foot in a school. So that became that fulcrum, that topic that I wanted to work on, that I knew I could spend 20 years trying to make a dent in. And so I left McKinsey, I left SEWA as well, did an MBA to learn how to set up an organization, because entrepreneurship has its challenges, and sometimes working in a tech nonprofit is you know, the worst of doing, trying to set up a tech startup and you know, set up a nonprofit. But at many times, it's also the best of it. So I think over the last 6 years, we've built something that works with, you know, at scale, we work with 1/4 of the India's 1.4 million Anganwadi centers. So we're, you know, making sizable impact at scale, 650 people, 15 states. You know, it's been a long journey, but I think it started in my own early childhood.
Absolutely. Very fascinating. Utsav? Similar story or slightly different?
Similar in some aspects, but also different in some other ways. So my story also started when I was really young. I remember two sort of inspirations when I was young. One was, you know, I saw a lot of inequality around me when I was young. It's something that all of us, you know, probably see on a daily basis. You can either be fairly oblivious to it or be impacted by it. I remember while growing up being fairly impacted by it. The other thing I remember inspiring me a lot while growing up was, I grew up in the land of Mother Teresa, and all of her stories really, really fascinated me and what she did. So much like you, Gaurav, I'm an economist by training as well. I studied economics in St. Xavier's, Kolkata, and my favorite topic was development economics. So was always very deeply inspired. Honestly, I didn't know the practical side of it. I did my MBA from IIM Ahmedabad, and again was in a bit of a minority when some education organizations came for recruitment. I was one of the two people from my batch who applied for that. So there was always this desire to work in impact. Wasn't sure how to do it and you know how to go about doing it. I didn't have anyone in my family who had treaded the path previously. But I always knew that this is something I wanted to do. I then worked in skilling for a few years. Was largely focused on skilling of unemployed youth in India. Did that work for about 7-8 years and loved it. And always believed that that's really impactful. But one of the things, you know, that it allowed me to do was travel the country. So we had about 100 centers across maybe 12 states in the country. And it just allowed me to travel extensively around the country. And one of the realizations there, Gaurav, was that while skilling is really, really important, it felt that the foundation was really weak. And a short intervention at the age of 20 was probably insufficient to overcome a weak foundation. And that's when my interest in foundational learning, early childhood learning came about. And then all of the numbers that Namya mentioned are what I realized as well. And about 6 years back, we came together to set up Rocket Learning with the belief that, you know, foundational learning is important. And we also traveled a lot across the country and you know, came across the Anganwadi setup. We'd all heard about it, but we hadn't really experienced the power of it. We realized there are these, you know, 14 lakh Anganwadi centers. There are women in the community, there are 14 lakh Anganwadi workers and helpers, And it's such a powerful system, but probably it needs more empowerment and it needs more recognition for it to get the for it to relive or really live out the full power and potential that it has, not only for the workers, for the parents, but of course for the children as well. Sorry.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the role of Anganwadi center, or the role that Anganwadi centers can carry out in transforming India's education needs no emphasis. And also, with the focus now shifting, programs like Nipun Bharat, and focus now shifting entirely towards foundational literacy and numeracy, I think we can see, we'll probably end up, we'll start seeing some of the results coming in the next few years or so, which is why the structural systems that need to change will have to change, and we can see some signs of those happening. Namya, Rocket Learning describes itself as a deep tech organization, but your users are Anganwadi workers in rural India. So, as an outsider who's looking at it from outside of the fence, there seems to be a bit of a divide there that you need to bridge. Many of those users will probably, I'm asking this question is because many of those users who are using these are first generation smartphone users. How do you make AI genuinely work for them? Because you were talking about leapfrogging many stages, not just your ability to use a smartphone, but also in many cases there are behavioral issues that you need to probably address here. How does it work, Namya?
Yeah, so yeah, we call the Anganwadi system India's best kept secret, right? There's no bigger public daycare system in the world. There are 60 million children enrolled in the system. So it's really a generation of kids who will grow up. So we think about a developed India by, India at 100 in 2047. This is the generation of children that will be 25, to 30 at that time. So, these are the kids that we all will depend on for our social services and for our taxes. So, making sure that they grow up to be empowered, educated, productive people is fundamental. The Anganwadi worker in every Indian village, right, there are 1.4 million of them, and they are in charge of teaching. So most children actually who come from low-income families are going to Anganwadi centers to learn. They might be sitting there for a couple of hours a day, but that is their primary source of preschool education, right? So the Anganwadi workers have been given smartphones by the government. In fact, many of them in most states are also given a data pack by the government. But as you said, Gaurav, they are first generation digital users. Many of them, the mean age is about 45. And many of them, that means half of them are over 45. There are workers in their 50s. Or late 50s as well. And they might be the first people in their families to have got a smartphone. What we designed for is to meet our users where they are. So we've always taken a lens of not deficiency, that what is missing in communities or families or in people, but abundance. And what Anganwadi workers do have is an abundance of interest and curiosity about children. So they want to teach the children in their care, most of them, right? They're from those communities. They want to serve kids. They want to see them learn. But they don't know how. And so the smartphone becomes a way for them to do it. So we build on top of messaging platforms that Anganwadi workers are already using. Most of them are on WhatsApp. And so we send bite-sized video content. Most of us are now consuming content in the form of 1 to 2 minute long videos, right, with a short call to action with an understanding. And so we send the teaching activities to them that they can access the day before, and then they can use it the next day to teach in their classroom. And that sounds fairly simple and obvious. A lot of people say, "Are WhatsApp, ye toh hum bhi karte hain," right? But the way we describe it sometimes is that the front end for the person who's digitally new or nervous is stupidly simple. It's just a WhatsApp group. But on the back end, we have a really highly powered system that we've built with Google.org and Anthropic and OpenAI that lets us actually understand in real time who is responding, how often, how can we support Anganwadi workers to teach in their particular classroom better. So as an example, We have an AI coach. So the big problem is that we want to personalize the learning, right, for every child, for every classroom. But how can we do that without knowing what level the child is at? And nobody likes to enter data. We all hate filling out forms, you know, even if they're very simple forms on the phone. But we're asking Anganwadi workers to change their behavior if they can speak into the phone, right? Today, I did these three activities and, you know, Gaurav did really well. Utsav was okay. Namya really struggled at stories, right? And then the next time there's a story activity, it can nudge the Anganwadi worker to say, hey, pay attention to Namya, because you mentioned that she struggled a bit last time, right? It can also make a report card, which is a really simple formative report card for a parent that says, hey, here's what your child is doing really well in, and here are a few things you can do to support them in areas that they're struggling in. So how can we use technology, right, AI, not as a way to monitor or do surveillance? So many people are saying, oh, you know, you can do geotagging and geofencing and you can know when people are there or not. But can we also use it as a form of joy, right? So can we use it to, you know, replace some of the things that are onerous and difficult and make it instead something that gives them value, right, pretty much from the first time they use it? So Shiksha Sathi was announced in partnership with the government of Maharashtra and OpenAI. So we already have 400,000 Anganwadi workers on our platform. A large percentage of them are now using this AI coach, right? And we're hoping to scale that to all 16 states that we work in over this year. So we are leapfrogging. We're building AI for people that, the people in the valley don't know about and will not build for the next 40 years. But, you know, in this technological revolution, not leave them behind. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely. You know, artificial intelligence can actually be translated into actual intelligence. Utsav, you know, Anganwadi centers have been, legacy-wise, have been seen as primarily as infrastructure for welfare delivery, you know, nutrition, primarily nutrition, not education. How has Rocket Learning changed what an Anganwadi educator is seen as and seen as capable of, importantly? Utsav?
Thanks for the question, Gaurav. Gaurav, I think inherently, I think the needs have also evolved over time. I think, when we talk about welfare, of course, nutrition is really critical. Education now becomes a crucial part of that as well. You mentioned the government policies around education. I think NEP was a very critical policy in 2020 that the government came out with, you know, which really advocated for play-based learning and really advocated for early childhood learning. And one of the key ways to make that happen is through making play-based learning happen in the Anganwadis. And for us, the big focus is how do we operationalize NEP for every single Anganwadi worker in the country? And at the core of everything that we do, Gaurav, everything that Namya was talking about earlier as well, if you realize one thing, the Anganwadi worker still is at the heart of everything that we do. So whether, you know, when we are using technology, whether we are using AI, the goal is that we make it easier for the Anganwadi worker to teach. We make it more efficient for the Anganwadi worker to do their reporting. And at the heart of everything is an identity shift for the Anganwadi worker. First and foremost, in her own eyes, that she sees herself as an educator, and an identity shift for the community as well, where they start seeing the Anganwadi workers as teachers for the children, and the Anganwadi centers as learning places for their children. We spoke about, you know, the 14 lakh Anganwadi centers. These are really, you know, a hidden superpower for everyone. And, you know, there will be an Anganwadi within a 1 kilometer radius of, you know, where any one of us would be sitting. So it's there, it's prevalent in every single place. To set up that infrastructure is extremely difficult. So which is why a lot of our work has focused on partnering with the government and making all of this happen through the Anganwadi workers, through the parents and children. And today, Gaurav, we see strong evidence of learning as well. You mentioned that we'll see evidence over the next few years. You're absolutely right. And we're seeing emerging pieces of evidence where, you know, children who are part of the Rocket Learning program, today about 80% of them meet their learning levels compared to about 50% otherwise. And that is very strong evidence of, you know, the fact that learning is happening, and all of this learning is actually happening through the Anganwadi workers. So that is the identity shift that we are really striving towards for the Anganwadi worker and for the community to see the Anganwadi worker in that light also.
Absolutely. And that shift is very fundamental. Namya, you know, parents are the first educators, but here is a fundamental problem that we generally, educators rather, sitting in big cities tend to ignore, is that in low-income households, they're also among the most poor and least equipped. How does Rocket Learning actually end up solving this problem? Because this problem is not just solving it for one household. You have to find a solution for solving it at scale and make parent engagement not just possible, but also meaningful. Namya?
Yeah, absolutely. And parents' involvement matters from, again, far before a child steps foot even in a preschool, right? So from the day they're born, children are primed to learn. No one's brain is as flexible and sponge-like, right, than a young child's. But in many parts of the country, and for many parents, as you mentioned, they might be time poor, they might be attention poor, right, and resource constrained. So, you know, that infinite potential of a child's brain, right, where they're building 1 million neuronal connections every second in the first 6 years, that potential gets constrained because of what they experience around them. What is really encouraging, though, is that evidence from around the world shows that parents can do very simple things with their children at home that can have very long, far-reaching consequences. So home visiting programs in the first 3 years say that if parents spend, you know, maybe 3 days a week doing simple activities, things like talking to their children, singing to their children, helping them stack blocks, helping them you know, find and match objects. And these can be, you know, these can be fancy toys, but these can also be spoons and katoris in any household, right? So any parent in any household can help their child learn. And that has, you know, studies have followed these children for 40 years and showed that high school completion rates improve, lifelong earnings improve, the quality of your relationships improve. So your social-emotional skills, your ability to solve problems, work with others, those are all built in critical periods in these first 6 years. And so evidence even from India, actually, a pediatrician in Vellore, Dr. Koshi, showed that there's a 7-point IQ difference between children who've got access to early learning versus parents who don't, right? Versus children who don't. And that difference is seen at 5, it persists until age 9. She's seeing sort of signs that it persists at least until age 12 as well. So parents can be involved meaningfully, but how can we actually make this happen? So again, the answer was make it simple, right? Parents actually care about their children's learning more than anyone else. It's in their direct economic interest to, you know, for their children to do well. And so, you know, apart from all the love, you have to make it easy and you have to reach them where they are. So again, we reach them through simple digital activities. We also have, you know, have worked with state governments to distribute child workbooks that can be done at home. We work with Anganwadi workers to set up really meaningful ECCE days, early childhood care and education days, where communities come together to celebrate early learning. The last two portion weeks or portion months have focused on portion bhi padhai bhi, right? Yeah. So if you wouldn't let your child miss a meal, how can you let your child miss a day of learning and stimulation? So we work with over 1.5 million parents at this point across our 15 states to help them as well engage with children in a deeper and more meaningful way. Every day we send them simple activities involving objects that they can, you know, easily do at home.
Absolutely. You know, Utsav, Rocket Learning has achieved impact at $1.5 per child per year. And that's a number that seems almost implausible. What does that cost efficiency actually mean? And does it tell us about how social impact can be delivered very differently? Is this a demonstrable template, Utsav?
Gaurav, when we started 6 years back, there were, you know, there were three things that we were acutely focused on. How do we ensure impact? How can we scale this impact? And the third one was, how can we keep it cost efficient? Because we believe that scale can only be achieved in a country like India when you can make it very, very cost efficient. So the focus was for us was, how do we meet all of these three objectives at the same time? And so again, you know, scalability, impact, and keeping it very cost efficient. So we wanted these three tenets at all points in time to be intact. And for us, the focus always, Gaurav, was, you know, building on the existing infrastructure that the government has. So the existing infrastructure of the Anganwadis, you know, these 1.4 million, 14 lakh Anganwadi centers which are across the country, how can we help improve that? There are a similar number of Anganwadi workers, similar number of Anganwadi helpers. How do we train them? How do we upskill them? How do we make them believe in themselves more? And how do we make them more equipped to become better teachers? On a similar vein, how do we ensure that, how do we work with the government very closely to ensure ECC days that we just spoke about? Now, all of these things were leveraging existing government infrastructure. And we strongly believe that, you know, impact at scale can only be achieved through building on government partnership and not necessarily setting up a parallel structure. On the other hand, we also believe that partnering with, you know, other civil society organizations, other private sector organizations is equally critical. So we leverage WhatsApp in a really big way. Now that is fairly cost efficient, but also allows us to reach out to, you know, millions of Anganwadi workers and millions of parents at scale. Partnership with OpenAI, of course, partnership with several state governments, partnership with Google. All of this allows us to not only scale, but also keep our costs very efficient at all times. So I really believe that, you know, this has helped us keep costs very efficient. And ultimately, I think, you know, impact has been achieved through this work because it's made everything very simple for the Anganwadi workers, and it's made everything simple for the parents. And not only simple, but they genuinely enjoy doing activities with their children on a daily basis. And I think that's where, you know, the learning really comes from, because they do activities daily. You know, we send them activities, they do activities daily, they share it with each other, they exchange notes with each other. And that's where at the end of the year, you know, when we do an analysis, we see really strong impact. And we spoke about some impact earlier. JPAL, you know, from MIT has also done a study. And they found significant learning gains through all of this work as well. So there's strong evidence. Namya spoke about, you know, Dr. Beena Koshi from Vellore as well, who did a study to you know, measure IQ changes. So there's very strong evidence that if activities are being done regularly with children, there will be really strong learning gains for them.
You know, Utsav and Namya, there's a milestone that we have set for, and India is cantering towards that milestone. India at 100 in 2047. And we're less than 25 years away from that. If the work Rocket Learning is doing succeeds at scale in the manner that you were imagining or envisioning, what does India look like from your vantage point that you stand today? And what would it mean if we miss this window? Namya first, and maybe Utsav later.
So in the kids born today will be 24, 25 by 2047, right? So this will be the group that enters the workforce, and it will enter a workforce that might look very different from the one that we grew through, right? We are seeing unprecedented changes in artificial intelligence, in the way that entire industries may be shaped, in the way that we will work and cooperate in the future. What we know is required is children and adults who are regulated, who are able to work with others, who understand what it means to be human, right? And we need those critical social-emotional skills, those executive functioning skills. We also need fundamental literacy and numeracy. We need people, citizens who are capable of reading, writing a simple sentence, ascertaining whether it's true, right? Understanding what, developing the judgment to, see whether it's misinformation or not. We need people who are numerate, who are cognitively flexible, who can solve problems by breaking them down into structural components. These are all things that will be built in that first 6-year window. So if we do what we do well, we believe that we can have a generation of Indian children who are prepared for adulthood in a different way than the way that, today India's generation is doing. Our demographic dividend, we're not seeing it play out in the way that we might have wanted it to. And we can't afford to lose another generation. So if we do our jobs well, right, and if we all come together as a society around those first 6 years, we can have a high IQ, high functioning, high EQ generation of adults in the next 25 years. I think the Anganwadi centers are another interesting opportunity. These are many young girls' first female role models. So seeing them interact with digital technology, using AI with ease, leads to a level of probably community involvement and female participation as well. So just a quick plug as well for the empowerment of the Anganwadi worker who's at the center of all of this work and of the parents, right? Parenting is probably the most thankless job. It builds nations and yet you get no recognition for it. So if we can, we can help parents feel like they are meaningfully contributing, if we can give them, some kind of certification or recognition, that's again going to be transformative for a society that's, we're starting to see replacement rates below 2, right? So that's, so the new data coming out is showing that we're having fewer children. So how can we invest in our children in a different way?
Absolutely. Utsav?
I just want to emphasize on the double dividend, core of that, that there is huge potential for, and I believe demographic, we often talk about demographic dividend, which of course our country is primed for. But again, in 2047, today's children will be there and will be entering the workforce. So cognitive development, I believe, will be really critical. It could be a far different world 20 years hence from where we are today. And the important thing is that, today's children are prepared for a possibly very different world, where cognitive skills are critical, where basic literacy, numeracy, etc. are critical. But I also think the other dividend that's really important is that the female labor force participation. I think when we have, yes, empowering parents will be really critical, but today a lot of our children don't necessarily go to a preschool regularly. I think there is a lot of scope for them to increase their attendance, and there are a lot of efforts already being made towards that. But I think more can be done there, because I think the moment a parent really believes that the child is learning in school, in an Anganwadi, parents will send them a lot more, believing that this is a really good place for them to spend their time. And it will enable largely mothers to actually either work or get back to the workforce. A lot of women in India today, we know that they drop out after childbirth. And if we want to genuinely take advantage of our labor force, we believe that childcare will not only put us in a very prime position for 2047, but also along the way to ensure that there's strong labor force participation in the country.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Namya and Utsav, for sharing the deep insights and perspectives on a range of issues. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thanks, Gaurav.
Thank you so much, Gaurav. It was, I'm glad you're covering this very important issue. So really appreciate your time.
Thank you.